This is a special Caribbean Premier League podcast. John Pennington here, and I'm joined by Aaron Kumar, a longtime friend of mine and associate of Cricket. Hello, Aaron.
Hi, Kate. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you? Have you been enjoying the tournament?
Oh, it's been a fantastic tournament, hasn't it, so far? I think it's really captured the imagination of the people in the Caribbean, and
well, that's right. We've got for sort of newcomers to the tournament, seven teams. We've had the group stages. We're down towards the semi-finals, and as a fan of the Guyana Amazon Warriors, you'd no doubt be delighted that they finished on top of the table ahead of Jamaica, Barbados, and Trinidad and Tobago.
I am. It's funny, isn't it? Well, obviously, as you say, I've got a bit of the big fan of the Guyana team, but when you look at them on paper, yeah, obviously, good to lose because they are injured, but there isn't really a star player. You've got to do on the line a few obviously quality players, but there isn't that sort of like a Chris Gayle or Kieran Fuller, maybe a marquee name as such, but they all seem to have played together, played really well as a team. It's almost a bit reminiscent of the Manchester Wolves in the IPL 2008, actually. It's a good little feel of that, so they've done a great job so far.
I was just going to bring that up, Aaron. You sort of stole my thunder a little there. You mentioned Gayle there. He had a... Obviously, he scored that magnificent 175 in the IPL. He hadn't done an awful lot since, but he looked to me like he was returning to some form the other night. That could be ominous for the semi-finals, Jamaica taking on Barbados.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say the same thing. He hasn't really looked at this at all. It's almost like a shadow of himself. He's been there, and he's really passionate about the West Indies, about Jamaica. But that innings, when he scored that 51 last night against Barbados, there were a little... reminders of that 175 that you talk about that he played for RCB, and we all know when Chris Gayle gets going. I mean, I went through an interview about Brenda Selig actually, where what Selig said was quite interesting is that most batsmen just take a mindset that they see every ball as a chance they can lose their wicket, they can get out, whereas he sees every ball as an opportunity to score a run than to score. And I get a feeling Chris Gayle had a very, very similar mentality when he goes at the bat. I mean, there were certain balls last night that weren't even bad balls, he's almost like with a way mate, you know, he just hits his first six out of the park. So I think a lot of teams will be wary he single handedly could win the tournament really for Jamaica.
When we talk about Chris Gayle, of course, this is a man who's hit the first ball of a test match for six, so I think you're absolutely right with that point. Just on a more sort of general theme of the tournament, we've seen quite a few low scores. What would you sort of put that down to? Is that sort of teams knowing so much about each other and able to bowl well to each other, or is it sort of maybe sort of tired pitches at this time of year, do you think?
Tired pitches, I think, also in the Caribbean, if you do look in recent times, it's not been as much remembered, you know, becoming the pace bit about something that's at the back of the quick ball. There's been a lot more sort of pace off the ball and been doing the trick, even in the ODIs before this against Pakistan and also the triangular series with India and Sri Lanka. There were quite a few lowish sort of scores, 230, 240, things, yeah, a good score. I think also the bowlers have done, you know, a really good job. You look at like Marlon Samuels, he's actually quite up there on the quick pace list, and Santoki, who's like a medium sort of left arm, has been a revelation for Guyana as well.
He has. He's been very good. Now, the next point I want to sort of ask you is sort of, it's quite a broad one, if you like, so sort of bear with me. We've seen a few players pick up some injuries. You've mentioned Martin Guptill, and I think he's sort of broken a finger. Umar Akmal suffered from an injury as well. Do you think sort of head coaches of international teams around the world and sort of board members are always watching these Premier League tournaments, from the Indian Premier League, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, all over the world, even Friends Live T20 here, you get some big studs. Do you think they're sort of almost watching these tournaments from behind their chairs thinking, oh, great that my players are getting this experience, but I really hope they don't get injured?
I'm sure they are. Absolutely, you're absolutely right. I mean, Martin Guptill is a key player for the New Zealand team, for example, and he's been tremendous in his tournament for the Warriors. It's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, you look at some of the, let's say, more powerful, the bigger countries, I'm thinking of like India, for example. Like, they have that crowd. I mean, the players, they're rock stars, they're millionaires, you know, it's fine. But maybe even the West Indies, for example, for a long period of time, Chris Gayle was a lobbyist, wasn't he, with the West Indies board wanting to play. So, but you can almost understand it. I mean, it gets misconstrued a lot. You know, sometimes people are saying, oh, these players, when I'm playing for their country, I don't put their country first. But your career's not forever at the end of the day. I think cricket doesn't get paid as much as various other professional sports. So these guys want to make a living. They want to stand well for themselves. It's almost hard to know what, especially for countries like New Zealand, the West Indies, knowing what finding that common ground is. I mean, I've heard people say in the past that IPL should be given a window to, you know, there's no international cricket and that should be set aside. But the problem is the Big Bash is gathering momentum, as you said, Trent's idea, and this league now seems to have taken off. I mean, if you do it for one, what do you do for the other? So it's hard to really know what the selection is, really.
Absolutely, and of course, all these players that are playing them are getting great experience of playing 2020 cricket in different conditions, which will then go and help the national team. So I think you're quite right to sort of say it's a difficult one to try and balance out. Just back to sort of the cricket on the field, I want to finish with your sort of thoughts ahead of the semi-finals. As I say, the first game is in a couple of days' time, Trinidad and Tobago Red Seal against your Guyana Amazon Warriors. Key sort of battles perhaps that might decide that one, other than sort of Chris Gayle, so not playing that, that's the next game. So what would you say would be the key battles in that one?
I think something all right for a start, because obviously it's a big game for him playing against the international organisation. Obviously the Trinidadian, so my friend is also a Trinidadian, but he has had a bit of a disappointing tournament, but I really expect some big things from Ryan. The guy who I'm really looking to is the performer, he's under a star like the captain. The captain already won this tournament, and what he's been very selfless in dropping himself down the order. He's been aware of Bill Form, Franklin, Simmons, they're all up there in the leading run scorers for the tournament, so he's been really lucky to have that. But I think with Gupta out, someone really has to take some responsibility for himself up the order, show his experience, and I think that would be very, very important for them.
And then the second semi-final, one day later, the game between Barbados and Jamaica, that promises to be another thriller, do you reckon?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Barbados started off as the team to beat, didn't they? They sort of won, I think, the first five.
They were looking strong, weren't they?
Yeah, they were very, very strong for the first few games, and they went on a little bit of a downward spiral, but much like we talked about Chris Gayle being a match winner, I know Pollard not being at his best, but they had a few match winners. You've got like Malik and you've got Pollard, so really it's just going to come down to on the day, but I still fancy Jamaica to get through that just because of the confidence.